Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yishalei, but Yeshaya Hawkins. I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yishalei, but Odeya Hawkins. I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yishalei now entering the sanctuary. It's a privilege and honor to present to you son Yishalei and Nebiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today, I'm going to talk about blessed are the peacemakers. The world does not know peace. If you can turn over to Yochanan 14. Yochanan 14 in verse 27. It's on page 832. Yochanan 14, verse 27. It says, "Peace I leave to you, peace I give you, not as the world gives you. Not as the world gives you, or not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The world has all gone the way of Cain. If you can turn to Genesis 4, verse 14. "Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall not be seen by your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. There shall be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation." Peace is the opposite of war. War destroys lives and causes division. But the laws of Yahweh, which bring peace, brings unity between individuals, families, and nations. Yahweh promises true peace to those who keep his laws. If you can turn to Psalms 119, it's on page 486. Page 486. Psalms 119 and verse 165. And it says, "Great peace have they who love your laws, and nothing will offend them, cause to fall away because of unbelief or sin." We are instructed by Yahweh to seek peace and pursue it. Like it says in Romans 14, it's on page 884. Romans 14 and verse 19. And it says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things of peace and the things which build up the house of Yahweh for one another." And also, if you can turn over to Psalms 34, it's on page 446. Psalms 34 in verse 14. It says, "Seek peace, pursue it, depart from evil, and do righteousness." When we are seeking peace, we will have no hatred for others, but instead we will earnestly strive to put away all contention and strife. And if you can turn to 1 Kefa, First Kefa 3, in verse 8 through 11. It's on page 9:59. First Kefa 3, verse 8 through 11. It says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, full of brotherly love, sympathetic and courageous, not repaying evil for evil, nor reviling with reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are the called out ones to this, so that you may inherit the blessing. For he who would love life and see righteous days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Let him turn away from evil and do righteousness. Let him speak peace and pursue it." Yahweh promises that those who will learn his ways and live by them will become like him and be transformed into his image as his children. And they will forever be used to bring peace to the universe. This is the plan for mankind. In Genesis 1, verse 26. "Then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image, according to my likeness, and they will have rulership over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Overseer Yishra Hawkins, when he comes up to speak to us, he always says, "May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you." He said that this will mean more to us as the times get worse. The peace of Yahweh, which is the laws of Yahweh, will help us to not fear. If you can turn over to First Yochanan, it's on page 966. First Yochanan 4, verse 18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has torment. He who fears is not made perfect in love." So, blessed are the peacemakers. If you can turn over to Matithiah, page 731, Matithiah 5, and verse 9. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of Yahweh." Remember, we have the opportunity to be the children of Yahweh, his sons and daughters. Yahweh's original sons gave this up when they turned from keeping his laws. And if you can turn over to Yada, 1 verse 6, it's on page 970. It says, "And the Malachim who did not keep their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day." So they no longer have their positions to teach peace. We are being offered the opportunity right now. We must be on guard that we must never forget why we have been brought to Yahweh's house. We are training to be teachers of peace. So stand in your place, stay tethered to the chosen branch, Yishra Hawkins, by believing and obeying all that he teaches. And for my last scripture, if you can please turn over to Psalm 62, it's on page 457, Psalm 62 in verse 2 and verse 5. It says, "Only you are our rock, our salvation, and our refuge. We are not greatly moved from our firm position." And verse 5 says, "Our souls find peace in you alone, O Yahweh. Our hopes are in you." So remember, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of Yahweh. And with that, if you all please stand, I'll turn over to Son of Israel for prayer.
If you all remain standing, it's my great honor and privilege to present to you the first speaker, the great Deacon Yashodai Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom. Great House of Yahweh, you may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's a great honor and privilege to be before the called out ones in these last days. The title of my sermonette this morning is Yahweh Has Vowed by an Oath. Let's start in 1 Corinthians. Start in 1 Corinthians, page 888, chapter 2, and verse 9. Chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the mind of man the things which Yahweh has prepared for those who love him. And in verse 10, but Yahweh has revealed this to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit of Yahweh searches all things. The deep things of Yahweh searches all things. Yes, the deep things of Yahweh. Yahweh has so much available for his people in these last days and will provide for his people throughout all eternity. We need to keep these things in mind and have a very thankful attitude for these things. Whatever Yahweh, no matter how much or how little we have, we always need to keep this in mind, how thankful we are to Father Yahweh, to be in his house and to be a part of this great work that is going to turn this world around and eventually the universe around. Now, what does the world offer? What does the world offer? Garbage, yes. Gall and wormwood, the practice of sin and a downward spiral to death and destruction. Now, what does Yahweh offer? What does Yahweh offer? Our high priest Yahshua told us in Yochanan 10:10 for your notes, to give us life and that we might have it more abundantly. All right, so we're going to, so we have Yochanan 1:1. Let's go to Yochanan 1:1. Okay. In the beginning at Abel was the plan of Yahweh, and this plan at Abel was with Yahweh, and this plan at Abel was Yahweh's. So Yahweh tells us from the beginning that this plan was with him, and it was at Abel. And this is the teachings that come from the house of Yahweh at Abel. Okay, Genesis 1:26, to govern, to lead, to guide, the same way that Yahweh leads and guides. And it starts with Matthias 6:33 for your notes. Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. That's the first and foremost thing that we need to keep in mind, always in the forefront of our minds. And then once we seek out this kingdom, this righteousness of Yahweh, then what comes after that? The test and the trials. Go to Exodus 20, verse 20, the test and the trials. Moshe said to the people, do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you, so that the reverence for Yahweh will be with you, so that you do not commit sin. It's not to test you so that you'll fail, but it's to test you so that you succeed, so that you don't sin, so that the reverence, that deep respect for Yahweh's laws will be with you. Praise Yahweh. So should we be ashamed, house of Yahweh? Should we be ashamed?
No,
we shouldn't. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. On page 938. 938, have those fingers moving. All right. Chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show yourself approved to Yahweh, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, which is the law and the prophets. Which is the law and the prophets. So there's no need to be ashamed, okay? Out of all the people on the earth, we can hold our heads up you know, not like this, but we can hold our heads up and we know that we are making the right choices and doing what is pleasing to the eyes of Yahweh, in the sight of Yahweh. Okay? Now, so the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. Pastor referred to it as milk and honey. Okay? And this is the teachings. Okay? This is the teachings. Go to Jeremiah 32 and verse 22 on chapter page 601 in Jeremiah. All right. And you have given them this land, which you vowed with an oath to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now you can see that in the next verse, they rejected these teachings. They rejected these teachings that bring life. Will we? I can't hear you. Will we reject these things? No. We will not. By no means will we turn back to those old ways. Okay? Because it says if we put our hand to the plow and we turn back, are we fit for the kingdom? No, we're not. Okay? So Yahweh has vowed an oath, and his word will not come back void. Okay? These teachings from the house of Yahweh in unity with Yisrael Hawkins bring forth peace, joy, and love. Abundance. The milk and honey. Milk and honey is mentioned 21 times in the scriptures. 21 times. This should be bringing some thoughts into your mind. 21, 777. The first thing I thought of was the gold flakes that Pastor's dream was about. Okay? This milk and honey. Okay? And in the sixth book of Yisrael, Pastor talks about this. In chapter 11, verse 30, and it says, so what did man do to milk? Yahweh made it for you. A land flowing with milk and honey was the promise. Why did he stress this so much? It's because it's so healthy for your insides. It puts an army in there and will fight unhealthy bugs and keep your body and guts clean. So we see that this promise of the land of milk and honey is a promise to have teachings that don't bring forth death, but bring life. Life more abundantly, so that we don't die. So that this work continues throughout all eternity, that we lead and guide our seed and their seed, and it's just a process. It's a ripple effect, a positive ripple effect. Now, this really shows that we need a teacher because Pastor Yisrael Hawkins, being led by Yahshua, it's like when the Ethiopian asked Philip, you know, he didn't understand these things in the book of Acts, and he said, how will I know unless I have a teacher? And we need to keep that thankful attitude, house of Yahweh, that we have the greatest teacher on the face of this earth, Yisrael Hawkins, helping us, guiding us, encouraging us, showing us that we can succeed, and this house will succeed. The gates of hell won't prevail. This house will succeed. Praise Yahweh. So we need a healthy body to rejoice. So use what Yahweh has given us. We have an abundance of milk and honey. This is the land flowing with milk and honey. Would you agree? Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. And it's delicious. You mix it in there with your buttermilk, your clabber milk, your yogurt, you know, butter and honey. We take that every day. And it gives us a healthy mind and a healthy body so that we may know to choose righteousness, to refuse evil and choose righteousness. So keep those things in mind and know that this milk and honey, it's the teachings, the pure teaching that comes from the house of Yahweh, from our overseer Yisrael Hawkins, and giving us that life, bringing us back from the dead, giving us life so that we would have life more abundantly. So stand in your place, okay? Stand in your place. Don't give up. Continue to go to the classes. Continue to rejoice and enjoy your Sabbath and resist the devil, and she will flee. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker. I want to thank Yisrael Hawkins for giving me the opportunity to speak. Y'all, please stand. It's my honor and privilege to introduce the great brother, Renaya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Such an honor to stand before the great saints of Yahweh. Please, you may be seated. It's an honor to stand before the great saints of Yahweh on this great sea of glass. On this great sea of glass. So the title of my sermonette today is going to be The Colors of Character. And we're going to see an awesome plan that Yahweh has. Everybody agree with that? Yahweh has given us an awesome, awesome plan. This plan of life and this plan of salvation and a plan of hope. It's such an awesome opportunity. So we can see in these last days, there's no secret there, that we have two plans for mankind. There's two plans for mankind, and both of these plans are teaching mankind, they're guiding mankind, and they're also training mankind as well. But we're going to see that there's only one plan. There's only one plan that Yahweh has for mankind that's actually going to make peace. That's actually going to teach peace and actually bring peace to the world. So I really would like to open up on the first scripture. And such a very familiar scripture, but one of the most powerful scriptures that Yahweh has for us, and that will be in Genesis 1:26. So if everybody please turn to Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26, very easy to find. And the scripture reads, "And Yahweh said, I will make man in my image," and his very character, right? And this character is the most important part of Yahweh's plan for his people and for his house, according to my likeness. So we can see that there's a training program here that's getting started and how Yahweh starts to develop this plan. And that they will have rulership. So we can see this is a very important part of Yahweh's plan, is to hand over this rulership to his people, to his house, through this plan. And this rulership will be over the fish of the sea. 70% of the earth, let's say, is water. This is a big responsibility here. Over the birds of the air, over the cattle, And over all the earth, all of the earth, over every creeping thing that also creeps upon the earth. So we can see that Yahweh has a great, he's delivering to us a great plan. And we can see that this plan is very important to Yahweh in the form of communicating that plan to his house. So we can see one of Yahweh's greatest character traits that he values the most, communication. So communication is very, very important to our great Father Yahweh. And we're going to see, I know you may not have this with you today, but Health Yahweh's Way. I'd like to put this on the screen here. Health Yahweh's Way. Thank you very much. Health Yahweh's Way right here. It's kind of marked up a little bit, but this is really what I want to detail out, that Yahweh wanted a family. Yahweh's creating this family here, and that the earth was special to Yahweh. The earth is special to Yahweh because from earth, it was Yahweh's plan, right? This plan to communicate from the beginning to create man in his own image. This great training platform that he has created for his family, and that Yahweh wants his family to communicate with him as their heavenly Father and enjoy life with him throughout all eternity. So just an awesome opportunity here, great saints of Yahweh here, and that Yahweh is devising this plan, has this plan is in action, and that we are a huge, huge part of this plan, of course. So this earth we can see is where Yahweh is training and raising his family. Yahweh wants us to communicate with him very specifically, positively. Yahweh put something in every single one of us today, in every single one of us that are sitting here today, wherever you may be. And that is his plan. His plan for you, his plan for us to come into unity, to be able to take over this great earth that he has given to us. So we can see that Yahweh called us, he's training us, he's educating us. So we really would like to show this, as this will really bring on the title of this sermonette, the four color rainbow, meaning the colors of character, and this shows ultimately a big, huge part of Yahweh's plan is guiding and directing and training Yahweh's people through these colors. And our great overseer, Pastor Israel Hawkins, saw this on 06, June 8th, 2014. He saw this four-colored rainbow, which represents, of course, the great house of Yahweh and the great people of Yahweh. So I really would like to start there with this, where Pastor saw this rainbow color of red. So in the gematria, all we simply did was just take the numbers for R-E-D and then add them up and then, of course, utilize the Strong's to really identify what Yahweh was really telling us and instructing us in as well. So we can see that the number here is 162 when you add these numbers up. So in the Strong's Hebrew lexicon, the result for 162 means exactly what it means here, expressing pain. Right, living life in the red, right? The expression of grief and or surprise. So the red expressing basically the pain and the grief of sin. So take your mind back when you were living your life totally in deception, totally in sin. So we can see this really outlines the first color of the rainbow. And of course, Pastor shows us that it's also it was a time of cleansing as well, a time of cleansing and coming out. Coming out of, an unclean lifestyle, eating unclean foods and so on. So our next color of character. Our next color of character, of course, is green. I apologize. That's gold. Our next color in the rainbow is gold. And gold adds up to 228. 228 in the gematria. And if we look at the Strong's and kind of dig down once again to see exactly what Yahweh is saying here in the word gold, it means to heat. Right, we think of the pressures of overcoming, the pressures of our overcoming in its truth in itself, and understand the great doctrine of Yahweh here, the true doctrine in truth, and that's I do encourage everyone to write these numbers down and look at them for yourself. So we see that the gold is a representation of the test and the trials, and of course the overcoming of sin. So our next great color of character is going to be green. Is going to be green. So in the gematria, we have the number 294 when you add each one of these letters up. And in the Hebrew, it means a worshiper of Yahweh. So we're really starting to understand what it really means to worship our great Father Yahweh. And that Yahweh has become great by reestablishing His house. Of course, reestablishing His name. And then Yahweh, the blessed of Yahweh. And that Yahweh is building a people. That Yahweh is building a people through His house. And that the green represents the growth and that building of Yahweh's people. So we can see Yahweh stepping us through this plan so you'll be ready. So we'll be ready. So we'll be ready to come into complete unity in order to take on this tremendous opportunity, this tremendous job that we have. And so finally, let's go to the purple. In our colors of character, and that number equates to 528, and in the Strong's, this simply means, and it really establishes right the colors of character here to announce and declare and report, bringing the word again, the true doctrine that we've been learning and exercising and practicing, and. And coming to this perfection of this beautiful, beautiful completion here, this true report, this true announcement, it also means to shine forth. As we shine forth, being the light of this great plan, the completion and restoration, everything that the plan of Yahweh represents, and to be fully reconciled, being the true purple people of Yahweh. Yahweh's purple people are fully reconciled to Yahweh, His house and His plan. And this is the beautiful part about it as well, is that we and you are set, Great House of Yahweh, on this mission. This great mission of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And it is to teach peace. Of course it is to teach peace. So I really wanted to take something from the Israel Says program. And this is, and I like to show this as well because it just brings everything to this great completion, what Pastor says here. And this is in the 15th book of Israel. Chapter 11, verse 34. We're bringing forth the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. That rainbow. You shine forth, great house of Yahweh, as that beautiful rainbow, those colors of character. And think about all the trials and everything that you have had to go through to get to this point. And you can really imagine, right? What Yahweh has in store. What Yahweh has in store as we continue on is this Peace of Solution character education program. And of course, their rainbow, which is what we mentioned in the very beginning, the other rainbow, the rainbow of destruction, the rainbow of hatred. I also like to call it the rainbow of robbery as well, because that's exactly what it does. It robs the people of their health. It robs the people of their right to know Yahweh, to know His house. This is really awesome that their rainbow is destruction, and it stands for nothing. It stands for nothing but destruction. So we can see, great house of Yahweh, what an awesome blessing it's been through all of these tests and all of these trials as we see and we develop ourselves through the understanding of these colors of character. And as I close here, just really would like to put this up here. And we can see that I've nicknamed this other plan of Satan, this rainbow of robbery, this rainbow of robbery. And it even goes, you know, and even the great apostle Kefa even mentioned in 2 Kefa 2:19. Right? They're promised salvation. They're promised health. But we know that it's nothing but destruction. So with that, great house of Yahweh, once again, it's been just an honor and a blessing to stand before the great saints of Yahweh, to be a part of this great work and this great colors of character. And with that, great saints of Yahweh, it's been an honor. And I'd like to turn it over to a great deacon in Yahweh's house, a great friend in Yahweh's house, and that would be the great deacon, Emmanuel Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. The title of my sermon today is Hope. Hope. H-O-P-E. Holding on to prophecies explained. Holding on to prophecies explained. That's hope. And holding on to prophecies explained, as explained, holding on to Yahweh's prophecies, as explained to us by our pastor, Yahweh's last day's witness, Israel Abel Hawkins, who is, of course, guided by our high priest, Yahshua Messiah. So if everyone will be pleased, turn over to Matithia 13:17. Now, this particular scripture is very, very special to me. So special, in fact, that this is back when I was 33, when I first was learning about the house of Yahweh. I saw this scripture in some of the literature I got from the house of Yahweh. And it kind of started really giving me a measure of the true magnitude of the knowledge that was found in this literature. So by the time I attended my first feast at the age of 34 in 2005, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, I had this scripture that we're getting ready to read. It was continually repeating my mind over and over and over. And it really made me committed to strive all I could to see, that is, read, and to hear, that is, listen all that I could from the house of Yahweh. In fact, the scripture was so special to me, that's why I originally chose my name to be Matithia, my first feast, which of course means the gift of Yahweh, which in itself, that this was a great gift that was coming in all this literature. And of course, until I was renamed by pastor 8 years later at the Feast of Unleavened Bread too. So let's read Matithia 13:17. It says, "For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see." Of course, one of those being to read what you read in the literature from the house of Yahweh. "And they have not seen." They didn't have this information we've gotten these last days at that time. "And to hear what you hear," that is, listen to what you listen to, you know, the sermons, the law classes, the Lamuja classes, even the song CDs. These righteous men and women of old did not have these, and have not heard. They did not have these. So we're talking about the teachings here, the teachings of Israel Abel Hawkins. And so back then in 2005, I really made this effort to apply hope, holding on to prophecies explained to my life. I was just starting to learn what a prophet was and what a righteous man or woman was. I had no idea back then. I mean, I really had no idea. But I did recognize that if these men and women so greatly desired to see what I was hearing and seeing and, you know, being blessed with this literature from the house of Yahweh and also the sermons, I quickly realized that this blessing was absolutely huge. It was colossal, in fact. Yeah, so as we see all the birth pains in these last days, and we look to the future with great joy for this great gathering. Is everyone excited about this great gathering? Yeah, right. Yeah. So as we look forward to with great joy as this gathering of Yahweh unfolds, I believe we all need to continually call the scripture to mind, to call it to remembrance every day as we face the curveballs and pitfalls we call the day-to-day grind. Maybe a few of you can relate to that. And then I also have a passage in the character unit of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. The passage is from the section called Room to Grow. And actually, this was so helpful to me that I put it on my iPhone. I wrote it on a note card. And it's one of those things that's really, really great for me to continually look at over and over again and just remind myself of this. And so, again, that's character unit. It's page 89. And this is the junior high character unit, the Peaceful Solution Courage Education Program. And it reads, even if you have made mistakes or bad choices, the emphasis there is mine, in your past that you now regret, it is not too late to change and turn your life around. Prepare so you will never make that mistake or bad choice. Again, emphasis is mine. Again, remember where there is determination, there is hope. There is hope. Holding on to prophecies explained. So if you were not taught the value of obtaining a positive moral character, so if you were not taught the value of righteousness, and you have been negatively influenced, you can learn from your mistakes or your bad choices. So set your mind in advance right now to stand up and make choices that will build a positive moral character. Also, be determined not to repeat past mistakes or bad choices. Instead, focusing on maintaining your positive character traits. That is, instead, focus on practicing righteousness. And, of course, practice seeing and hearing and applying the words of Israel Hawkins into your life. When you open your eyes and your ears, you can see that Yahweh's in full control. And I remember when the Great Con started bringing out the numbers and other so-called coincidences, it really further sparked my commitment to hear and see just how deep and vast this plan of Yahweh was. And I'm sure many of you, I'm sure all of you have had the 613 numbers pop up in your life when you first came to the house of Yahweh and probably continue to do so. And then we got the 1934s and we got the 777s. And incidentally, about that 1934, recently I was in a department store, and as I was going past the sock section, I saw some socks and it had 1934 in big bold letters on the socks. And I'm like, 1934? And I mean, I don't know if anyone have ever heard of the gold toe socks. Gold toe socks. So I went home and I had to Google this. I'm like, 1934, what's this about? So I Googled the article, and it actually came out in 2014. It was saying they were celebrating their 80th anniversary, and that back, this was in the 30s, they had came out with a sock where the toes were actually linenized. And I saw that, I go, linenized? I go, that's interesting. And they said that, no, they got some remarks from consumers, and they said, you know, you got a really great pair of socks, but you can't really tell that your socks are different from the others. The linen, you know, it's not obvious that your toes are linenized and the other ones are, you know, not. So they came out with the idea in 1934 to make the toes gold. And that was absolutely amazing to me. But then, you know, another thing that was amazing is on 4/13/2014 at 11:28 a.m., and I know everyone's familiar with the number 28, so I don't need to explain that one. But as I went through the gate to the 44 to set up for the feast and get ready for Yahshua's memorial that evening, I had sort of gotten in the habit already of starting to look at numbers, you know, seeing them around me. And I looked down on my odometer, and this is like, actually, as I passed through the gate onto the 44, it flipped to 144,777. And I was like, okay, I know the 144,000, and I've heard the 777. I go, this is pretty special, because this is Yahshua's memorial this evening. So I go, I got to get a picture of this. So I snapped a picture of it, and it wasn't until the end of that feast when the great Khan got up and he told us how many people were in attendance at that feast that it really made a lot of sense. And there were 777 people in attendance at that feast. And I was like, I was like, that's pretty amazing. And, you know, that experience made me really stop and think, you know, how many of these things that was I missing that were around me when I'm lying to myself to get stuck in this day-to-day grind, woe is me attitude, rather than stepping back and really see what Yahweh's doing. He's really doing a great work with us. He's doing a great work with us through Israel Hawkins. And of course, as I think of this most often, Israel Hawkins is the right man for the job. So, to conclude today, I wrote a little poem. It's kind of a more of a non-traditional poem. I guess you can call it in 2017 flavor. So the poem goes, Yisrael, yes, real, a witness, promoting spiritual fitness. 613, a prophecy, shining light to you and me. Last days, we're in it. Great gathering, we're near it. Serving to be deserving and observing, encouraging one another, loving our mother, of course, H-O-Y, and our father, Yahweh, with joy. Practicing righteousness day by day, humbly rejecting our own way, a work in progress, never going to regress. RCBC, RCBC, RCBC. Repentance, confession, baptism, conversion. It means life to you and me. And hope, and hope, and hope. So, everyone, please hold on to these prophecies explained, as explained by the greatest teacher in the world, Great Khan Yisrael Abel Hawkins. Keep hope. And with that, if you all please stand. We have another, the amazing speaker, the great Deacon Isaiah Berner Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I feel like I should have wrote a poem now. All right, please, the title of my sermon today, peace to God be with each and every one of you, The title of my sermon is, But What Did You Come Out to See? And I'd like to open up, everyone could be turning over to Matithia 11, please. Matithia 11. Matithia 11 on page 737. And I'm going to start off in verse 7 here. It says, When they had left, Yeshua began to speak to the multitude concerning Yochanan. What did you go out to see? What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A flimsy reed quaking in the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothing? Behold, those who wear fine clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? Verse 9. A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. You know, we've heard a lot about this great gathering this past week, this past couple weeks, probably the past month. We've heard a lot about this great gathering, and we all know that we're at the beginning of this gathering, you know, for this 2 billion, getting prepared for this 2 billion to come, which is the larger portion of the great gathering. But sometimes, you know, I think being gathered here and in the daily grind, we begin to forget why we were gathered here, what our purpose is, why we are here. Because, you know, Yahweh said the greatest gathering, but we forget sometimes he also said the greatest time of trouble. You know? So, there's a little formula for any of you chemists out there. Greatest time of trouble plus greatest gathering equals greatest tests. So, these greatest tests that we face, you know, we face a lot of great tests. Last week, one of the speakers asked everyone, you know, House of Yahweh, will we ever leave our job? And everyone said no. I assume everyone said no because I didn't feel the earth open up and swallow anyone. So I'm assuming everyone said no. But, you know, we don't think of it like that. We don't think that, you know, Yahweh says, hey, look, I've got a gathering going on over here. I've got this really great job. You know what I'm saying? And I want to hire you. I want to give you a great job. And we say, yeah, no thanks. I'm sorry? No thanks, Yahweh. I got a better offer. It pays better and it covers dental. Check that out. Huh. Okay, I don't know what pays better than eternal life, but I think I'll go with the eternal life. I don't know about you. But we don't think about it like this, but, you know, when we, and I know that's a little exaggerated, but when we do things like complain about our sufferings or about our tests, it's like telling Yahweh no. It's like saying, no, I don't want to do this job. Because I can't put up with this little struggle I have to deal with here to do this job. I don't want to do it. Turn over to Isaiah 45. Talking about test. Isaiah 45. It's on the wrong side of the book of Yahweh there. Isaiah 45, I believe it's on, I'll give you a page number here. Page 559. Isaiah 45, page 559. I'm going to start in verse 9. It says, Woe to him who strives with his maker. Verse 9, Isaiah 45, 9. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Will the clay say to him who forms it, What are you making? Or will your handiwork say, He has no hands? Woe to him, verse 10, woe to him who says to his father, What are you beginning? Or to his mother, What have you brought forth? Now this just shows the great mercy of Yahweh, because I got to tell, I've never worked with clay. But if I was working with clay and it started talking back to me, I'm throwing it away. I'm not going to sit here and argue for an hour with clay. You know what I'm saying? So, but Yahweh doesn't throw us away, does he? No. No. If we leave on our own choosing. Be turning over to Job 11. Because, you know, this great gathering is all about testing. It's all about testing. This great gathering is, I mean, you could put a sign. I always thought you could put a sign on the gate that says, drive slowly, test ahead, because this great gathering is all about testing. You know, we can't do, that's part of the job description for this last day's work. What do you do for a living? I get tested every day. That's my job. I'm tested and tried. That's what I do. That's the job description. You know, we can't have one without the other. You can't say, oh, I'll get a side of gathering, hold the test, hold the trials, light on the suffering. No. No, you don't get to do that. There's no custom orders to this gathering. You come, and you get what Yahweh gives you. You know, the thing is, everyone, praise Yahweh, everyone is here for Yahweh. We all came here for Yahweh. No one came here saying, I don't believe in Yahweh. I don't believe Israel Hawkins' last day's witness, but I heard so-and-so's here. If that guy's here, this has got to be the place. No, we all came for Yahweh. And we became because Yahweh brought us here. This gathering is Yahweh's doing. Yet sometimes in our sufferings, we forget why we came. And we forget this great mercy Yahweh had in gathering us. Eob 11. And I'm going to read Eob 11 here. Find it myself. Page 417, Eob 11, verse 6. I'm going to start in verse 5. It says, "But oh, that Yahweh would speak and open his mouth against you." Verse 6. "That he would show you what is hidden, for there are two sides to wisdom, revealed and hidden. But know this, Yahweh has punished you less than your iniquity deserves." Look at this. Now, Yahweh doesn't punish. We know that. You know, Yahweh doesn't punish people. But the sufferings we have is less than our iniquity deserves. We're still feeling this. We haven't even felt the sufferings for what we've done yet. We're feeling sufferings for people, great-great-grandfathers right now. The great suffering. But Yahweh protects us from the suffering. Because, you know, I know there's some people here looking at me like, "What? What are you saying?" Because some of us have gone through some serious suffering. I mean, there are some of us who have gone through some serious suffering, but Yahweh says, "Look, I protected you from the big part of the suffering. You don't know what suffering means." Look, it's explained in Romans 5. Turn to Romans 5, where we can explain what this is saying here in Eob 11. Romans 5. And I'm going to start here on Romans 5, page 877. And I'm going to start in verse 6. Romans 5, 6. Says, "For when we were yet without strength, at the appointed time, Messiah died for sinners." Now, verse 7, "Now it is an extraordinary thing for anyone to die for a righteous man. Yet maybe for a kind man, some would even dare to die." Verse 8, "But Yahweh demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us." Verse 9, "But much more than being justified by his blood is the fact that we will, through him, be saved from wrath." Verse 10, "For when we were Yahweh's enemies, we were reconciled to him." Because remember, if you're not with Yahweh, you're against Yahweh. "If we were Yahweh's enemies, when we were Yahweh's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved through his life? And not only this, but we also rejoice in Yahweh through our King, Yeshua Messiah, through whom we have now received reconciliation," or atonement. And this is explaining Eob 11, because the wages of sin is death. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The wages of sin is death. So the fact that we are alive right now is a testament to Yahweh's mercy. Without Yahweh's mercy, you wouldn't be breathing right now. You wouldn't be breathing. You know, Yahweh in his mercy, he shows us here, we are saved from wrath. This is the mercy. Yahweh saves us from the curses that we would be getting if we were sinning. Yahweh's mercy is free. You don't charge $100 an hour for Yahweh's mercy. It's free. Yahweh gives his mercy to you. Yahweh gives his mercy free, letting you be alive. And it's a terrible thing when someone throws away Yahweh's mercy. It says in Isaiah 5, 20, "Woe to him who calls evil righteousness and righteousness evil." And people, you know, when people fall away from the house of Yahweh, they lose their understanding. And they do that. They throw away Yahweh's mercy. You know, now I understand why it affects pastors so much when people leave the house of Yahweh. Because when I see somebody leave the house of Yahweh, I think, "Do you have any idea what you just did? Do you have any idea what you just did?" When you leave the house of Yahweh, you condemn yourself to death. There is no, you know, Yahweh gave you this mercy. He allowed you to come here, and you said, "Okay, now I'm going to leave." And so, okay, all right, well, I understand that you didn't want to go through the tests and trials anymore, so I'm going to pardon you. Yahweh's mercy is free. You don't earn Yahweh's mercy, but once you get it, you do what Yahweh says to be required for that mercy. You keep his laws. You obey his priest, Yisrael Hawkins, the last day's witness. Turn over to Titus 3. Because the suffering is much, but Yahweh's mercy is infinite. I mean, remember the parable of the prodigal son? You know, he allows people to come back. He gives them this mercy again. But when you refuse Yahweh's mercy, how can you refuse Yahweh's mercy? How can you do that? Titus 3. It's right after Timothy, if you don't know where it is. I found myself having trouble finding Titus. Page 941, Titus 3. And I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. But when the kindness and the love of Yahweh, which the love of Yahweh is our Savior, toward man appeared, he saved us, not outside the work of righteousness which we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration, or rebirth, or restoration, and the renewal of Holy Spirit, which he had abundantly poured out upon us through Yeshua Messiah, our Savior, that being justified through his undeserved pardon, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Look at this. Undeserved pardon. This is what it's all about. If you ask yourself, what did you ever do in your life to deserve Yahweh's mercy? Because if Yahweh said, let him who deserves my mercy have it, none of us would be alive right now. Because we were all undeserving of Yahweh's mercy. Yahweh gave us his mercy by letting us come here, by letting us be alive. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, Yahweh has called you, of all the people in the earth, to this great gathering. Please, don't throw it away. Don't throw away this great gathering Yahweh has called you to. You know, when we're suffering, we shouldn't be asking ourselves, what did I do for this to come down on me? We should be asking ourselves, what did I ever do to deserve Yahweh's mercy? In conclusion, brothers, sisters, the suffering is great. But I ask you, what did you come out to see? And with that, if you all please stand, I turn over to the next speaker, the great Deacon Timothy Alexander.
Shalom, great saints. You may be seated. Hope everyone is enjoying the Sabbath. Continuing on the message of the gathering, the great deacon was talking about this great gathering. Why this gathering? Why this great gathering? Why is this gathering so important? If you turn to page 752, to start with, page 752 in the scriptures. And that is Matthew chapter 23, verses 37, we'll start with, verses 37. And you'll see there's two witnesses to the same verse here. Also, you can mark down Luke 13, verse 34, found on page 799. So this one says, "O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you who murder the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often I want to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Behold, your house is left to you deserted. For I say to you, from this moment, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh." Notice the side note there, W1, it says, "Behold, your house, the temple, which is now your house, not Yahweh's." Let's look over to Luke now, on page 799. Luke chapter 13, verses 34. Same thing here, and 35. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that murders the prophet and stone those who are sent to you, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." You know, for how many years the message has been going out to this world from the house of Yahweh, the preaching and the publishing, from even the days of Abel, righteous priest, Adam, Moshe. It said here in the next verse, "Behold, your house is left to you desolate. So truly I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh." Look at the side note there. W1. "And verily I say to you, after a very short space, you will not see me until the time comes when you learn from your calamities. The world has to learn from the choices they're making what it's going to bring. Then you will be ready and disposed to say what? Blessed is he that comes in the name of Yahweh. Who is coming in the name of Yahweh right now? The only prophesied work right now in these last days, the house of Yahweh. Our pastor and overseer, the great witness, Israel Abel Hawkins. Let's continue there. It does not imply that they should then see Yahshua at all, but only that they would earnestly hope for Messiah, and in their humility be ready to entertain any who should assume that character. Who is assuming the character of Yahweh right now?
Israel Hawkins,
and we his seed, this great family. Yahshua, also G8, Yahshua forewarned them of the destruction of the temple and of their whole policy. Why is this gathering so important? Why are we here in the great house of Yahweh? We are training for a job. We are trained to be teachers. We are trained to be those who could follow instructions. The main thing that's required of us at this time is that we are obedient. We are humble and willing to obey and follow instructions. Yahweh doesn't need us to be rocket scientists right now. He needs us to be obedient, loyal, faithful servants. Okay, so we got that now. Let's turn over to page 949 in our scriptures. Page 949. That would be Hebrews chapter 10. I'm reading verses 24 and 25. And it said here, let us consider one another. So we have to consider one another. Okay? How we may urge one another unto us love and righteous works, helping each other out. Not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together. Now look at that, let's jump down there to verse 29. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of Yahweh underfoot and has counted the blood of the covenant which he was sanctified an unholy thing, and who has insulted the Spirit of mercy? Look at that side note there for you. The side note for you. One who refuses to gather as part of the body does not renew the covenant. One who refuses to be a part of this work. One who stays home or chooses to stay home or choose to do something else rather than keep the Sabbath or come together to be involved in this family, in this work that is going on in these last days. You know, Yahweh is not playing when he gives these instructions or when he lays out these things for us to be a part of. He's being very merciful to us. Now, I also look at something, the 2 billion. A lot was brought up in the 2 billion. And the 2 billion people, that's a lot of people. There's a lot of people, but that's a small drop in the bucket to Yahweh. Okay? Yahweh knows what we are all capable of. Now, I don't know if anyone ever looked up the gematria for 2 billion, but just to give you a rundown, you need to write these numbers down. 1,200, 786, and also 131. The gematria for 2 billion. Now think about something, right? Those 2 billion people, as they start to come to the house of Yahweh, it's going to be a time of what? Peace? It's going to be a type of trouble, exactly. A time of trouble. Chaos, confusion. Every last one of those meanings for that word right there, 1,200, 786, and 131, give a meaning of burning, fire, fiery, flaming, hot. And you can look it up. Every one of those words will give you that meaning. a time period like this such we are living in. We look around us in the world and the news and everything we see. And we see the destruction. But we are training and have all that we need to get this job done that Yahweh is allowing us to have. And giving us everything we need to get this training done. And we need to put that effort to be a family, to be in unity, to be as one. To welcome those who come through the door. Not have a mean face, but to be welcoming. Enjoy your job. Enjoy the position that you have right now. If you're sweeping the floor right now, you think you're going to be sweeping the floor in Yahweh's kingdom? Does Yahweh need someone to sweep his floor? No. But he needs someone who can follow the instruction. Now, be turned to Matitya. Back to Matitya again. 25. And I want to read something here. That pastor, this is from the book of Israel, the Mark of the Beast, volume 2, chapter 18, verse 422. This is the second Mark of the Beast, chapter 18. Yahshua will send, I remember this book was written back when? We remember the year. 1976 is when this book was started, right, and was written. Yahshua will send his Malachim to gather his call-out ones to the sea of glass at the end of the great tribulation. However, the physical gathering of people is done over a period of years by the house of Yahweh. How long it takes some of us to get here? The gathering is done by preaching, publishing, and training those whom Yahweh is calling out at this time to serve in the kingdom of Yahweh under Yahshua's authority. The winds of war are being held back at this time so the last ones chosen by Yahweh can be gathered to Yahweh's way of life now. The same way that will be taught to all the world in the new world. Everything we are learning right now in teaching, all the classes, everything is available to us. It's why we are here, being taught, being prepared, being trained for this great work that Yahweh has for us, and knowing who will be capable of handling what, and being inspired to give through Yahshua to our overseer. Yahweh's gathering, continuing in the Mark of the Beast here, Yahweh's gathering his people through the work of the established house of Yahweh in these last days. This work will continue to grow, and pay attention to this. This work will continue to grow until the only government on the face of the planet is the government of Yahweh. So, we have a lot of work, and Yahweh is not done yet. And you'll never be. And Pastor will say, Yahweh is so far ahead. Yahshua is so far ahead. Even our overseer is so far ahead. It's amazing. He's so much things he could... When you ask him something, he's already knowing that. He's already past that. Matitya chapter 25. Now let's look at verse 24. This is very important. Then he who had received one talent came forward and said, Ruler, I knew you to be a hard man. Reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Right, this is a hard man, right? So I was afraid. I didn't leave my house. I didn't want to get up there when people get me upset. I got to go to the priest and confess these sins, get counseling. And I went and hid. Hid your talent in the earth. Maybe with a remote control in your hands. Many ways you could do it. But this was being done here. What he said. His ruler answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant. You knew I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have lent my money and to the exchangers. What are we doing when we're preaching and publishing the word of Yahweh? Are we here to make a lot of money? No, we're here to win converts. We're here to show the world through our example, a way to true life and true peace. That's the career being offered in the house of Yahweh. You know, the world will offer you a career and you could become a doctor, a lawyer, and so on and so forth. In the house of Yahweh, Yahweh sets the limit. As we heard last week, right? Yahweh sets the limit. We don't know what it is. But if we are willing and obedient and stay in our place and following our instructions, be amazed what we can achieve. Why this gathering? It's the most important gathering in the history of mankind. And we need to be as iron sharpening each other. Proverbs 27:17, you can mark that down. Insult, gossip, get in each other's face and have attitudes. We learn the peaceful solution for a reason. To put it into action. Put it into action. So that when this start coming, remember in Deuteronomy, what other nation is so great? It's going to be us. This nation, this group, along with all the other righteous works of Yahweh, to bring this message to this dying world. May Yahweh bless your understanding, and if you all please stand. I turn over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. How about those speeches today? Aren't they pretty fantastic? Praise Yahweh. Now, to go along with this end gathering, we've heard many different titles and speeches today. But the one that caught my attention was the color of the character, color of character. And the reason it caught my attention is because mine is called the big V, values. For this end gathering, what are we valuing? Are we valuing the house of Yahweh or are we valuing the world? And to start off, we're going to go to the character unit. And on page 6 on the character unit, it says, values are what you believe in and feel strongly about. And they also play a key role in developing your character. So they play a key role in developing our character. So let's go to my purpose. My purpose today is to show how we need to value the work of Yahweh and the house of Yahweh, as shown in Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 3, and Deuteronomy 31, 6. Remember, Ecclesiastes 5 through 3 is keep your foot, watch your step when you go into the house of Yahweh, and be more ready, listen to learn. So for my first scripture, if you can go over to Deuteronomy, we're going to go to Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. And it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of them, nor terrified of them, because for Yahweh your Father goes with you. You will never leave nor forsaking you. Now, I've got an example for that. I went, this happened about a month and a half, 2 months ago, but I was going to get some supplies for a job, so I went down to the hardware store, and I'm looking for these bolts. You know, they got a massive selection of bolts, so I'm looking for one. You got metric standard, you know, you're trying to figure out the threads, you don't cross-thread and mess up your project. So I'm looking for these bolts, and from afar away, I hear, hey, you're one of those Yahwehs, aren't you? And you almost wanted to do one of those, you know, when teacher calling you in class, you'd go, you, and you'd go, oh, you mean me? You know, you wanted to do one of those, but I was thinking, I'm like, oh, there's somebody else in here. And then everybody's eyes just went to me. And I'm like, well, I guess he's talking to me. He's like, you're one of those Yahwehs, aren't you? And, you know, you think, and you want to go, yes. But then remember the house, because some people will say no. But I walked up and said, yes, I'm a house of Yahweh. What can I help you with? So they will throw those curveballs at you. They will. So be ready for them. And they will come out of the blue and they will embarrass you like you've never seen before. Because you'll turn blood red. You're like that deer when you're going down the road and those headlights come on. You just stand there, right? Let's go to, let's go over to 2 Timothy 2:15, because remember, we have to study to show ourselves approved. So let's read that scripture. Very important scripture. It says, study to show yourself to prove. Yahweh, a workman, does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth, the law, and the prophets. So let's what we study. We have to study to show ourselves to prove. Now, what occurs if we don't?
Let's look at the other side of this value system, the world's value system we have here. In preparation last night for the speech, I came up with the title, and I thought I'd go on AP, and I'm like, let's look on a Associated Press, on Top News, and we'll see exactly what's going on in this world today. So I looked it up, and there's 10, you got 10 headlines, and 7 out of the 10 were 42 people got killed here, 72 people got killed here, a missile strike hit a village, killed this many people. In Abilene, I believe it was that last weekend, they were shooting up the street. They're going down streets and shooting out buildings and everything. I believe there's a murder almost every day in Abilene now, if I remember correctly. But this world, and it's very close to here, is getting worse and worse and worse by the day. So let's ask ourselves a question. What are we valuing? You know, what is it that we see that values the house of Yahweh compared to the world? And we have to ask that to ourselves, especially if we're 13 to however, when you can start making your own decision, that the Peaceful Solution says, when you can start making your own decisions, think about yourself, what are we valuing? Because that's when the decision starts. Do I want to stay here or do I want to leave? That's what you have to ask yourself that. And if you have doubts, Yahweh has made a way and pastors made a way. We have counselors for that. And you know, counselors are very important, but you can ask any kahan as well. Now, let's turn over to Yochanan 12. Yochanan 12, verse 46. Yochanan 12, verse 46. Okay, next page. It says, I have come as a light to the world, and whoever believes in me should not remain in darkness. So, I have a question for everybody. Do we believe in the house of Yahweh and the Israel Hawkins is the one sent? Praise Yahweh, because that's the only way we can be pulled out of this darkness. And the only way you can go back in there is, as we said, as we just read in 2 Timothy 2:15, we don't study. We don't study Shara self-reproofs. How are we supposed, the house of Yahweh is at gas station. You know, when you're running low once a week, you go and you fill up. That's what we are. That's what the Sabbath day is for. Now, let's turn over to Yochanan 8. Let's go to Yochanan 8, just a couple pages over. Let's go to Yochanan 8, 34 to 36. Yochanan 8, 34 to 36. It says, Yahshua answered and said to them, truly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And when we do that, we can come and repent of it. Every Friday night, starting at 8 till 9, 9:30, we have confessions for that. We come and we can repent of what we've done. He who serves, worship, obeys the gods Elohim will not remain in the house of Yahweh forever. A son of Yahweh, a righteous man or saint, will remain in the house of Yahweh forever. So seeing being a son of Yahweh, a righteous man or saint, is what makes you free, you will really be free from the gods Elohim. And that's the freedom we should be looking for. This free, the house of Yahweh free. It seems tough now, but it will be free. You know, they call America the land of the free. It's the land of debt and land of misery right now from what I've seen. Now, let's turn over to my last scripture. We'll go to Yeremia. Let's go to Yeremia 29. Yeremia 29, verse 11. And remember, who we're serving is who we're valuing. Yeremia 29, verse 11. It says, for I know the thoughts, plans that I have for you, says Yahweh. Thoughts of peace, not destruction, to give you a future to hope for. Now that is the future we should hope for, brothers and sisters, is the future that Yahweh has for us in the house of Yahweh right now. So stand in your place. Don't go anywhere. And I have a question for you in closing. Remember who we serve. What are we going to value and what are our values? And with that, if you all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the great Kahn Nathaniel.
Praise Yahweh, great saints of Yahweh. You may all be seated. And may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Of course, today Yahweh has given us the great and awesome blessing of hearing many different aspects of what Yahweh's gathering is and what it entails. Last week was just also as awesome and also as great in showing us, praise Yahweh, showing us this gathering and how it's fulfilling prophecy. And each one of us have our position and our place in this gathering. And in all the different ways that we gather. You know, my intent, Yahweh willing, today is to show just what you saw earlier today and to further expound upon the facts of gathering our thoughts, okay? Gathering our minds, allowing our mind and our heart to be given to Yahweh, okay? Given over to the way of Yahweh, the standard of Yahweh. If you would, please turn over to the book of Yochanan, Mark chapter 14. We're going to begin with the example that was given to us by our great and awesome high priest. And these are things that he said for us never to forget, to keep these standards. And we see what this gathering really is through this example. Okay? So, Yochanan Mark, chapter 14 and verse 22, this is Yahshua's memorial. And it said, as they ate, Yahshua took bread and gave thanks. He gave thanks to Yahweh. He broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat. This represents my body. Okay, this represents my body. Partake of this bread, for it represents this work, this prophesied work that is being brought forward at this particular time. And as we sit here in Yahweh's house at this time, we are also in that same body that was broken and given in servitude, that Yahshua Messiah showed us to take of ourselves. Okay, remember, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes, but it says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you'll find it after many days. Okay, give your bread to seven, and yes, give your share to eight. So there is a blessing in us taking of ourselves, putting ourselves down in order that we would uplift and upbuild and edify Yahweh's house, okay, as this body. And what this body will do, we'll then spread abroad and continue to share that bread of life for all of Yahweh's creation. But continuing, it said, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank. And he said to them, this represents my blood, or my blood of the covenant. Okay, one of the great deacons had mentioned earlier that it was in Yahshua's life, okay, the way that he lived, that was the sacrifice. And in the same way, we must also offer up that same sacrifice. So this is the blood of the covenant, which was shed for many. It was an undeserved pardon. We didn't deserve to be here. We didn't do anything to earn a position in the seat that we have right now. Okay, but what we are doing right now is we are earning that. We are making our calling and election sure. Let's go over to Acts. Okay, the book of Acts and chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Let's go into verse 32. Okay, these are the believers. This is a message for the believers that we should be in unity. Okay, we should all be that bread. We should all be that bread. I know we're coming up on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we should be that bread too. Okay? Verse 32. And the multitude of those who believed were of one mind and one spirit. Okay, you remember the peaceful solution. The intent of the peaceful solution is to change the hearts and the minds. Okay, to turn the hearts to the fathers, the hearts of the children to the fathers, and the hearts of the fathers to the children. Okay, that's our intent, to become teachers so that we can then teach the students to become teachers and continue that multiplication, you know, that multiplication in Yahweh's way. And not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Okay, now this, what this is referring to is showing us again that you take of yourself and you offer to the body. This doesn't mean that, you know, you take your shoes off and you give it to, you know, and you take the shirt off of your back and you give it to this one and spread abroad your love and your concern and your care and your compassion. No, this is not what that's referring to. What it is referring to is that our mindset should be, if you remember many years ago, because there was a false doctrine that was going throughout the land that we have to pray toward the east, okay? In the house of Yahweh, we have to pray toward the east. And Pastor came up and so easily and just simply said, no, this is not referring to facing east when we pray, okay? Otherwise, we would all be sinning right now and unworthy of the kingdom of Yahweh, okay? But what it is referring to is that our prayer, that our cares, that our concerns, that our thoughts, our desires should be toward Yahweh's house. Okay, that we pray toward Yahweh's house, that we pray in agreement, praise Yahweh, with Yahweh's house, that we pray in unity with the body of priests. Okay, that we pray in unity with the fact that Yahweh is bringing forth a body that will bring forth his kingdom. Remember what Yahweh says, that he shows that he will pour out his glory through his people. He'll utilize his people to show the glory of Yahweh. Okay, and this is what we're being gathered for, so that we can then go ahead and gather others unto Yahweh. So this in common was that we have the same mind. Let this mind be in you. We have the same thought processes of care, concern, compassion, consideration. Okay? Yes, when it's necessary and when the time comes, that we would correct the things that are outside of the way of Yahweh. Okay? But that correction also has to be done with humility. Okay? It also has to be done with the consideration that, you know what? The reason why Yahweh allows us to experience trials, tests, pitfalls, curveballs, is so that when we come upon someone else who is also going through these calamities, that we can reflect on ourselves and say, you know what? I know what it's like to be right there. Okay? I know what it's like. What did it say about Yahshua Messiah? It said that we do not have a high priest who is unaware of the things that we go through. Okay, he struggled and suffered the exact same things that we, as individuals, everyone in the house of Yahweh, men, women, and children, Yahshua Messiah experienced the hardship of going through a life or having this life in this world. Okay, and so he's allowing us to do the exact same thing, to experience certain things. Yes, it's a hardship when you're going through it. Nobody likes being sick. Not one of us, you know, are wringing our hands and waiting to become sick. Right? But the thing that we look forward to is the end result of it. And this is what will cause us to have all things in common. Okay? Oftentimes when we read this scripture, you know, the way that this scripture was written, it was given to us because, you know, our natural limitations, we only think about what's about like half, you know, half a foot in front of us. That's all we really pay attention to. Okay, but this is written in this particular way to kind of give, you know, an analogy to what the plan of Yahweh is and what the sacrifice of Yahweh is in order to be gathered in the mind. Okay, verse 33, it says, with great power the apostles delivered the testimony of the resurrection of the Messiah. So this is showing you what mindset it was. Okay, it's the testimony of the resurrection, the testimony of the being brought from the way of death, which we all indulged in, to now the way of life, being resurrected to this way of life that Yahweh set before us. And great honor was upon them all. This is what we receive in this gathering. Okay, let's go over to 2 Corinthians to further push this point, because again, it's very, very necessary and imperative that we grasp onto the teachings of Yisrael Hawkins. Look, it's not for his own gain that he's up here teaching us. Okay, it does go to his credit. He does build his treasures in heaven through preaching this message to us. But it's for the purpose of bringing forth this bread. Okay, bringing forth this bread so that we can share and share in common in the blessings of Yahweh. Second Corinthians chapter 9. And I would like to read from verse 6 all the way to verse 15. Okay, because there's some very, very important portions that we have to understand in the gathering that Yahweh has brought us to and is going to multiply. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, it says, of course, the heading is, Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. Okay, Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. A deep, very deep subject, okay? Verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Okay, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who studies sparingly will teach sparingly. In other words, the ability to be able to convey the way of Yahweh with the effectiveness of the experiencing of righteousness. Okay? Being able to experience Yahweh's righteousness is what's going to give us the best opportunity to teach it in a more effective way, the most effective way. Okay? And this is why Yahweh allows us to experience these things, and also the suffering combined with it causes us to be obedient. It did it to Yahshua Messiah. It does the same thing for us. But he who sows bountifully, he who shares that bread bountifully, will also reap bountifully. It will come. It will reciprocate itself and come right back to you. Okay? If it's mercy that you desire, throw it out. Just give it, broadcast it liberally. Like Nora, she went gossiping from the mountains to the valley concerning this message. And look, we're still talking about it today. Okay? She is reaping bountifully for what she's sown. Verse 7, each man should give what he has purposed in his heart to give. Okay, now, oh, well, I don't feel like keeping the Sabbath, so that does, you know, I haven't purposed in my heart. No, what that's speaking of is each man shall give what he has bent his mind on according to the teachings of the house of Yahweh. It's not every man doing what's right in his own eyes. It has to be according to the teachings of the house of Yahweh, guided and directed by the last day's witness. Okay? The standard that is given in Yahweh's house. Okay? But so this is what we should be purposing. Okay? The purposing in your heart is not what you feel like, a heartfelt feeling. No, that's not what it is. But it's what you put into your heart on purpose. Okay. It's what you put into your heart on purpose. So we look into the laws of liberty. Okay, remember the scripture shows that the laws of Yahweh, the scriptures are like a mirror, a reflection, that we should go and look at the scriptures and see what that reflection is. When we go away from this, when we go away from that mirror, we shouldn't forget what we should look like. Okay, this is what we're speaking about here. Okay, so he will give what he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, nor out of necessity. Oh, I have to. I guess I have to keep the Sabbath. I guess I have to pay tithe. So I guess that's what I'll do. You know, there's a reward for those who are willing to do that. But what Yahweh said of us is that we need to learn to love Yahweh's law, love the keeping of Yahweh's law. It's Yahweh's law. Yahweh tells us that we must teach our children the law of Yahweh, and that we must speak about it when we rise up, when we lie down, and all of these things. An individual who loves the law of Yahweh doesn't need to be told that, because that'll be his conversation regardless. You know, that'll be his, he doesn't even have to really consider, oh, okay, right now I gotta sit down and teach my children. No, it'll just be regular conversation, okay? And this is what Yahweh is looking for. We're not going to make it all the way through, all the way to 15, but I do encourage each and every one of us to go over these scriptures and look at it like a mirror. This is what we have to conform ourselves to. These scriptures is what we have to conform ourselves to. It's not, you know, what you purpose in your heart, but it's what you put into your heart purposely, okay? Let's go over to, verse 7, the end of verse 7 speaks about loving Yahweh, being Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. Verse 8, and Yahweh is able to make blessings abound toward you, that you always have all that you need in all things, okay? All that you need, but it goes further than all that you need, and may have an abundance of every righteous work, okay? We have to be able to obtain the desire to fulfill Yahweh's way so we may abound in righteousness, okay? And that comes with health, that comes with strength, that comes with the ability to put your hands and not be concerned about what your daily meal is going to be or, you know, these things. And Yahweh will provide these things. Your homework will be to finish reading 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15, and speak about these things. Edify each other, encourage each other, for the kingdom is around the corner. And at this time, if you'd all please stand. I'd like to turn the floor over to the great Kahan Matithia Hawken.
Praise Yahweh, you may be seated. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We'll be turning over to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 12 on page 173 of your books of Yahweh. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 12. The title of my sermon today is Gather Up the Teachings. You know, because a part of this gathering where we're seeing the multitudes coming to Yahweh's house is us being ready to teach those whom are coming. And this is what Yahweh's called us for in these last days. You know, so we have to gather up these teachings of righteousness from Yahweh's house that we've been called to learn. In Deuteronomy 31 and verse 12, we see the command given here to gather the people together, men, women, and children, and the strangers within your cities, so they may listen and so they may learn to reverence Yahweh your Father by carefully observing and doing all the words of this law. So we see here that we're gathered together so we may listen and so we may learn to reverence Yahweh. Okay, and we have been going over in the Sabbath workshops the Reverence of Yahweh series. But, you know, Pastor, for however many years we've been at Yahweh's house, Pastor's been teaching this reverence of Yahweh. Okay, and we've been brought here to listen and to learn this reverence. If you'd be turning over to Habakkuk chapter 1 on page 710, Habakkuk chapter 1. You know, so we've been brought to Yahweh's house, you know, and for as long as I can remember, because I've grown up in Yahweh's house, as long as I can remember, pastors constantly have been teaching of this great multitude that Yahweh is going to bring out in these last days, how we would gather together this great amount of people, this large mass of people. And he's been showing us, you know, and if you can kind of think back however long you've been in Yahweh's house, even if it's only been a couple of months or maybe a couple of years, you know, you can think back and you can see how much the house of Yahweh has grown through the years and how many things that Pastor, you know, foretold of, you know, many years ago that have actually come to pass. You know, and just the gathering that we have here today and all the many different blessings we have with our own clean food supply and the great opportunity to rejoice at the feast and to be able to partake of these great foods and the all the things that it takes in day-to-day life to sustain life. You know, these are things that Pastor's been predicting, you know, many, many years ago. And just think back, you know, and there's only a few here who can actually think back that far, you know, where Pastor said, I think there was... after he brought the teaching on the holy garments, he said there was 13 people left out of 35 in the congregation. You know, and he actually then was teaching and showing how large this work would grow. You know, and we see now in these last days where this message has is going out to the entire earth through the different means of media and broadcasting means through television and the internet and the publications. This message is going out where everyone on the face of the earth, no matter what part of the earth they're in, they actually have the ability to learn Yahweh's righteousness and be taught these things and actually be shown the way to life. And in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 5 on page 710, it says, "Look among the heathen and watch, wonder with astonishment, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe if it were told to you." You know, and we know that we are living in these last days, this time of knowledge being increased, the time of the last days witness, the time where Yahweh's kingdom will be ushered in and actually take over the ruling governments of the earth, will actually rule the earth, and it's going to spread forth from there into the universe. We know these things are coming, and we have these things to look forward to. Now, there was an article recently the pastor had read, and I can't remember if he read it on services or if it was in a prophetic word program, but he read an article which is entitled United Nations Humanitarian Chief Stephen O'Brien Says 20 Million People in Four Countries Face Starvation. And that was from VOAnews.com, which is Voice of America News. But 20 million people in four countries face starvation. Now, if you think and you do the math on this, you know, 20 million people in four countries at the present time, you know, there's listed as being 196 countries in the world. 196 countries. So if you subtract four from 196, that leaves you with 192 other countries. You know, although we know there's more than just these four countries that are having problems with supplying food, you know, and not just supplying food, like, you know, it's kind of like we have a problem here, you know, where you can go out and you be out and about or something if you have to run errands or something, and there's a lack of food, you know, but there's burger joints all over the place and there's all these different shops, but there's a lack of food that's actually sustaining and nourishing and actually beneficial for mankind. So if you take 20 million people and you multiply that by these 192 other countries, which aren't listed right now as having this problem with famine, that gives you 3,840,000,000 people. You know, 3,840,000,000 people. And you can see, like Pastor said, the wars are going to be a quick thing. You know, the nuclear bombs, they come in 1 hour. You know, the all-out nuclear war can come in 1 hour. But the actual aftermath, you know, the lack of food, the lack of clean food, clean water, you know, these things are what's going to be the true misery and the suffering. And you can see how, you know, this 20 million people is just going to be a drop in the bucket to where there's going to be, we know that they're looking to depopulate the earth and wipe out about 6 billion people. And so we can see here how almost 4 billion people could actually be wiped out just through starvation, because we see this taking place right now in our life. You know, although it's not maybe right here in Texas, you know, I'm sure there's people starving in Texas, but it might not be right here where you can go out and you can just see it where right around the corner. But, you know, you can see these things through the news we've been watching. You can research these things online. You can actually see how not very far from here, you know, just across the globe, you know, we see these things taking place through these countries because of the war and the displacement, because these people who have been, you know, pushed out of their homes, and they've been put into predicaments that are, inhumane. You know, they're inhumane, and even by a confused mind, you know, the leaders of the world, this humanitarian chief, Stephen O'Brien, even with his, you know, mind, I'm sure he probably eats unclean foods and he worships gods like the rest, you know, of the deceived world. As we see Revelation 12:9, Satan deceives his whole world. But even he himself can actually see that this is a severe crisis. They said it's the worst ever. You know, this is the worst starvation and famine that they've seen, you know, since World War II, they said. Okay, but we know that this is, Yeshua prophesied this to be the greatest time of tribulation that mankind's ever seen. We see that in Matthew chapter 24, 21, and 22. Okay, so we can see there's a huge amount of people who are going to need to be served. You know, and this is the importance of taking hold of what Yahweh commanded us. And just for your notes, we don't have time to go over there, but if you can write down Yochanan chapter 15 and verse 13, and that's on page 833 of your book of Yahweh. But we know in Yochanan 15 verse 13, it was commanded that there's no greater love than one lay down their life for their fellow man. You know, and Pastor put in the note 1A at the bottom, the footnote, he said to lay down, that is to completely serve a brother in the faith, you know, a brother or a sister. So we know that we have a great job ahead of us, as it said in Habakkuk, that these things wouldn't be believed even if they were told to you. You know, and so we have to be able to learn what to teach, to be able to teach the things that we have learned. We have to be able to actually put down our own desires, you know, put down selfishness and actually build up selflessness, where we're putting others' needs in front of our own. Because there's going to be a huge amount of people coming to Yahweh's house, and we are the ones who are going to have to be there to serve them, to help and to guide and to lead them. And so remember now in Deuteronomy 31, verse 12, we read that we have to gather to learn, you know, and we have to gather to Yahweh's house to learn Yahweh's ways. Remember, write down for your notes, Isaiah 55 and verse 8. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, Yahweh said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." You know, so we have to gather to Yahweh's house to learn Yahweh's ways. And this is what Yahweh's brought us here, whether we've been here for 20, 30 years, or, you know, one day or one week or however long. Yahweh's brought us here to learn his righteousness, to learn the peaceful solution, his laws, so that we'd be able to apply these things into our own lives, to bring peace into our lives, but to also to reach out and to teach those whom are coming to his house. Now, if you remember, I guess quickly here, we might have time. We'll go over to Yeremia chapter 23. Very familiar scripture with the last 2 weeks of sermons here. But Yeremia chapter 23, verses 7 through 8, it speaks of this great gathering. You know, and sometimes it's kind of hard to imagine, you know, 2 billion people. That's a whole lot of people, okay? If, you know, even at the feast when there's just, you know, a couple thousand or a thousand, you know, here in Abilene, you know, it's a whole lot of people. We're pretty packed in here. So 2 billion people, that's a whole lot of people to be taught, and that's a whole lot of people to be served. As the sisters spoke last week, you know, that's a lot of food. That's a lot of CHBs. You know, no wonder we haven't had CHBs in a while. They're like packing them away in the freezer or something, trying to prepare for 2 billion. So we're going to need a CHB factory along with many other things. But in Yeremia chapter 23, verses 7 through 8, it says, "Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that they will no longer say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt." You know, that was a great thing when Moshe led the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. That was actually a very marvelous, miraculous thing that was spoken about, I imagine, for hundreds, if not thousands of years, you know, because, of course, we even look at that great deliverance of Yahweh bringing the children of Israel out of this bondage, you know, actually led them out of there. "But they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up and led the seed of the house of Israel out of the protected place and from all countries where I had driven them, and they will dwell in their own land." Now, I got back to my calculator, and you got to, on your smartphone, because smartphones aren't that smart, but you got to turn it sideways if you want to do big numbers, because if you do big numbers when it's just straight up and down, then it errors out. But if you turn your phone sideways, you can do big numbers. If you divide 2 billion, okay, divided by 3 million, because remember, Pastor showed Moshe brought about 3 million people out of Egypt. You know, the total, it was only numbered at 200,000 or 300,000, but that was just the men that were numbered. If you number the families and the children, there was about 3 million people that were led out of Egypt. So if you divide 2 billion by 3 million, that gives you 666, and then it's like 0.666666667. A lot of sixes and then a seven, but about 666 times the amount of people. So this work in these last days is going to bring out 2 billion out of this great bondage of Egypt that we see is taking over the ruling governments of the earth again, is going to be 666 times the amount of people brought out that were brought out of Egypt. So you can see why the prophet Jeremiah wrote here that they won't say, you know, those who were brought out of the land of Egypt in Moshe's day. They're actually going to speak about this last generation and this great work that you, the great house of Yahweh, along with Yisrael Hawkins, did in bringing out this great multitude of people. And for your notes, remember Revelations chapter 7, verses 9 through 17 speaks about this great multitude, which is unnumbered, in Revelations chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. And in Revelations chapter 7 and verse 16, it talks about they'll hunger no more, nor will they thirst anymore. You know, because We are actually going to provide them not only with their physical needs and the things they need to sustain life, but also with what's even more important than physical needs is the mental needs. You know, the spiritual strength that hasn't been taught to mankind since the house of Yahweh was done away with almost 2,000 years ago and put into the grave and hasn't been promoted as it's been in these last 80 years where Yahweh's reestablished his house, you know, starting with the establishment of the Last Day's Witness in 1934, the beginning of this end generation. In closing, if you turn to Yacob chapter 5 on page 956, you know, and as far as I can remember, you know, from being just a young boy, you know, pastor's always been diligently striving and doing the work of Yahweh. He set a perfect example of this, Yochanan 15:13, and laying down his life, his own needs, wants, or desires, and building up Yahweh's work, you know, and therein finding the great joy that comes through serving Yahweh's people, because it does bring a great joy, you know. So we have to take, as you turn over to Yacob chapter 5 on page 956, remember, we have to take great delight in doing the work of Yahweh. We have to be diligent in our duties. We need to be diligent in not just the physical work, as Pastor said, the chores and the different things we have to do throughout the day or the week, or even maybe some chores might go throughout the night, you know, but also in the building of our minds and the reading and studying the prophetic words, the newsletters, attending the classes, you know, and then applying, you know, attending the classes is one part of it, but then applying these teachings in our day-to-day lives, you know, applying the teachings of the peaceful solution and being one who stands for righteousness, you know, who stands for morality, so that we can actually teach through our example. In Yacob chapter 5, verses 7 through 8, it says, "Therefore, be patient, brothers or sisters, be patient, family of Yahweh, until the coming of our King, Yeshua Messiah. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, patiently waiting for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establishing your hearts, for the coming of our ruler is at hand." You know, in this great gathering, this great multitude is coming to Yahweh's house. You know, we have to gather up the teachings of righteousness so that we'd be able to lead and to guide and to direct them. And in closing, I do encourage you to continue to remain strong and be faithful. And at this time, if you'll all please stand, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'll turn the service over to the great Kohan Malachi Hawkins. Praise Yahweh.
Yeah, Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You know, the great Kohan told me, you know, he texted and he said, "Kohan Malachi, you only have 15 minutes. And he also placed, you know, a deacon right next over my shoulder to make sure, you know, I only take 15 minutes. So I have to hit the ground running this morning, basically. I have to hit the ground running. So let us just look at Revelation. Because what we're focusing right now, we're looking at a time era that we are entering. All right, let's look at Revelation chapter 7. It says, "And after these things," verse 1, "after these things I saw four malachim standing on the four corners of the earth, or holding the four winds of the earth, so that the wind shall not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw," it's another, "but a Malach ascending from the east, having the seal." Now, the seal is the laws of Yahweh, because that is what seal an individual. You know, that is what set us apart from the world, is the laws of Yahweh to Yahweh. "Having the seal of the living Father, and he cried with a loud voice to the four Malachim, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our Father in their forehead." And this is what is taking place right now. This sealing, you know, is taking place right now. So it gives us a clue. Number one, when we see this war breaks out, We know, well, look, that time span is expired. That ceiling is done. You know, that another time we want to go and run to the judges and there, or the kohanas or the priests and there, you know, to help. That time expired. Right? So that is one thing we're looking at. Now, we have to also understand, no, the purpose of this sermon is to show how significant this work of Yahweh really is in these last days. Because if we don't see that significant in the work of Yahweh, you know, we could take the work of Yahweh for granted. And this is something we shouldn't be taking for granted. The work of Yahweh is the most important thing on the face of the earth right now. Right? Why the earth was created? Why the earth was created? The earth was created to train mankind for Yahweh's kingdom. And this is what's taking place right now. This training is taking place right now. So, you know, this is not something we should take very lightly. Our calling to the house of Yahweh is not something we should take very lightly. And we have to see, well, look, you know, we have to realize the great worker, you know, or the great workload that is placed upon Israel Hawkins. You know, because it come like you know, Yahshua, number one, Yahshua referred to Israel Hawkins in Revelation chapter 7, not 7, Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. He said, he referred to him as a mighty Malak. Right? And we have to actually realize why Yahshua referred to him as a mighty priest. Because for example, okay, it come like running a race. You know, a 4x4 race. And the greatest workload is on the last individual to bring home that whole team. And this is the workload that is placed on Israel Hawkins. The whole plan of Yahweh is placed on his shoulder. Right? And he shows constantly, it's not him alone, it's the whole congregation of the house of Yahweh this workload is placed on. Right? You know, it said the difference between a mule and a donkey. They say a donkey, a place load on a donkey. But a mule is what pulling that load. And this is what Israel Hawkins is doing. He's actually pulling that load, pulling this last day's work. You know, bringing it to Yahweh. So we have to know, we have to understand how significant, you know, this work really is. Now, let's just look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now look at verse 39. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. You know, it is referred to as the faith chapter. And all these have obtained a righteous report through the faith. Well, what is the faith? You know, so many times, you know, because when we look back at chapter 11, we see so much of these men, this righteous men of Yahweh. They say they live by the faith. But what is the faith? Right? So basically what the faith is the laws, the statutes, and the judgment of Yahweh. That is what these individuals live by. And this is the same thing that is presented to us to really live by. This is the faith. Now, let's just look at Revelation. Revelation 22:14. It said, blessed are those who keep his laws, that they may have right to the tree of life. They may have right to the tree of life, or the tree that brings forth life. Right? And this is what the house of Yahweh is. The house of Yahweh is bringing forth life. Now, let's look at Genesis. Let's just look at Genesis chapter 2. Right? The house of Yahweh is the tree of life, or the tree that brings forth life to mankind. Right? Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, it said, out of the ground, Yahweh made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and desirable for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of righteousness and evil was in the midst also. So we see it's only two trees, right? Nothing else. Only two trees. The tree of righteousness and the tree of mixture of righteous and evil. But now, I would like everyone to pay very, very close attention, because I don't want to lose anyone, right? Only two trees, but look over to Genesis chapter 3. Let's start from verse 1. We read verse 1 and verse 2. It said, and the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh have made. And she said to the woman, have Yahweh indeed said, you shall eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruits of the trees. Right? The fruit of the trees. And this is T-R-E-E-S. But back in Genesis 2, verse 9, it said only two trees. It's only two trees. So how come she could be saying, well, look, trees here. It said Yahweh told her she could eat the fruit from these trees. As nothing contrary or double standard was set here. Right? What she's talking about, we have to know, well, what trees with the S she's actually referring to. Right? And what she's referring to here, what Abel had set up, right, was educational centers Abel had set up, right, learning school, learning centers, where the priests, where he could have, those who were training, right, could have go to these places and learn, right, and this is the same thing Elijah did. Elijah, the prophet of Yahweh, he set up the school of the prophet. Right? Why he set up the school of the prophet is to learn, to train the priests. Because we have to remember that Yahweh said to guard and keep. This is what he told Adam and Abel. Guard and keep this way of life. So Abel set up these things, and the great priest Eliah set up the school of the prophet to continue this work, to guard and keep. Well, Did Abel have a cafeteria? Yes, he did. Did he have a bakery? Yes, he did. Right? Did Elijah have a butcher shop, a slaughterhouse? Yes, he did. Because if he didn't have a slaughterhouse, how could they actually see where the kidneys were and the fat around the kidneys? They can't just imagine that. It had to be hands-on. They had to actually show, well, look, this is unclean to eat. So, you know, he set up this training center. Same thing what Abel did. That is what Eve was talking about here. These trees is learning center. Right? And is it any different to what Israel Hawkins is doing? Absolutely not. No different whatsoever. Right? He's bringing forth the same thing. Okay, I have to run a little faster here. Now, this is what Yahweh, you know, even in with Noah, because we have to understand the plan of Yahweh. Now, even with Noah, Yahweh preserved all these animals and he preserved that work, right? You know, to come straight down to us. Now, so we have to educate ourselves in these things. You know, to bring forth this tree. So when this great multitude comes in, this is what we'll be teaching them. Right? We are bringing them to our high priest, to Yahweh. Right? As Hebrew said, turn to Yahshua. Right? Look at the example that Yahshua set. Look at the example that pastor is setting. Right, that's why it's a turn to Yahshua. Look at that example, and you know, as the great priest had mentioned, with this great multitude, when we look at, you know, in that same sermon, what he spoke about, You know, Pastor said it's only 1% of that 3 million people turn to Yahweh. Everyone else, you know, want to go back to Egypt. Everyone else wanted to turn back to sin. It's only 1% that turned to Yahweh. And when you look at that 1% of that 3 million, you're talking about 30,000 people. Right? So it's actually only 30,000 people turned to Yahweh. Compare the 2 billion people who will be turning to Yahweh at this time. And you know, it have places, you know, right now the amount of people is turning to Yahweh. For instance, just in Africa alone, it's thousands of people is turning to Yahweh. Just in Africa alone, places like Nigeria, Ghana, Libya, Zambia, you know, Ghana, right now Congo, Morocco, Tunisia, Kenya. And one thing with Kenya, we're gonna change, they spell Kenya K-E-N. Y-A. We're going to change that. We're going to spell it K-E-N-Y-A-H. That's what we're going to change it to. Kenya. That's what we're going to change it to. So, and even though a brother in New York told me, he said after Sabbath, they usually go out, you know, to do a Richard program and so on. I said, you know, he had the table there with all the booklets and so on. And he was talking to a guy, he had on his Horse Yahweh cap, baseball cap with the Tetragrammaton YH on it, YHWH on it. And he said he was talking to this guy, and a woman came up. This occurred a while. You know, a woman came up, and after she finished speaking to the guy, the woman said, "I know what that had saying." And he looked at her. She said, "What?" He said, "Yahweh." So, you know, that kind of caught his attention. And he said the woman said, "No, well, he decided, well, look, okay, let me try to give this woman one of these booklets to read." And the woman said, "I don't want any of that." She said, "I don't want any of that." She said, "I already have the study guide." She said, "I already have the study guide." You know, well, his eyes opened up big and his, you know, like saucers in his head. You know, he was surprised. And he said the woman reached into, you know, women love to carry, you know, handbag. I don't know. She reached into her handbag. I know what she pulled out? Book of Yahweh. That's what she pulled out. And he said, you can see it's not a new book of Yahweh. You see how this book of Yahweh is? You can tell, well, look, it gets some blows. He said, just so the book was looking. So you can see the woman was actually studying. So, you know, these people studying the book of Yahweh. You know, people is worshiping Yahweh in secret right now, and we have to prepare ourselves for this great multitude. So with this, we all please stand and turn over to great Kohen Levi Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. You know, at this junction in the presentation, there are usually two questions that everybody has. The first question is he the last speaker? And yes, I am the last one. The second question is he going to finish on time? Well, we will see. So with that, let's start with Isaiah chapter 2. We're going to be reading from verse 1 to 4. And the title of the sermon is, "And It Will Come to Pass." And it will come to pass. Reading from verses 2 to 4 of Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 2 says, "It will come to pass in the last days that a mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it. And many people will go and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the Lord will depart from Zion, and the word of Yahweh will depart from Jerusalem. And he will judge among the nations and will rebuke many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither will they learn war anymore.'" So within this, you can see that great gathering being spoken of, along with the establishment of the house of Yahweh in these last days. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. For the last time Pastor spoke, he spoke about the preparation that is being made for this gathering, that this wasn't a one-day event, but there's preparation that is shown in the scriptures. So in Luke chapter 12, let's read verses 35 and 36. Here we have Yahshua said, "Let your belts be fastened around your waist and your lamps burning. May you yourselves be like men who wait for their ruler when he will return from the wedding, that he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately." So you can see, as Pastor said in that sermon that he gave, this was on 3:4:17, he showed that there's a preparation, and he connected this, so he linked this with Exodus chapter 12. So if we will turn to Exodus 12, and we'll read from verses 2 to 3. You can keep your place in Luke chapter 12 also. We'll go back there very briefly and then move on to another scripture. In Exodus chapter 12, "This moon shall be your beginning of moons. It shall be the first moon of the year to you." So we know that this is speaking of getting into the Passover, looking for that first moon. Verse 3, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this moon, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household." And we know that the lamb represents Yahshua. Look down at verse 11. "And in this way you shall eat it." And notice what it says. "With a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, eat it in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and animals, and I will execute judgment on all the gods, Elohim of Egypt. I am Yahweh." But notice the belt on your waist, the sandals on your feet, staff in your hand. So back in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, "Let your belts be fastened around your waist and your lamps burning." So this is what Pastor was showing, that Yahshua was drawing from Exodus chapter 12 and talking about what was going on at that point. And then Pastor also made mention of how the apostles, they emphasized this in their teaching. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, found on page 920. And let's read from verse 13. We'll read from verse 13 through 15. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having overcome all, to stand. Therefore, stand therefore, having your waist belted with the truth." So again, you see that comparison there. So now you have your waist belted with the truth. "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the message of peace." Now remember what we read in Exodus, that they had to have their sandals on their feet while they were partaking of this Passover. And here you have, "and having shod your feet with the preparation of the message of peace." And let's hold that thought in mind there, because let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Because what is this talking about, having your feet shod with the message of peace? And when you look it up, it really is talking about having something on your feet. And it goes back again to Exodus chapter 12, where they were told to have their sandals on. And it's just as what Pastor was explaining to us, that they had to be ready. They had to get ready. Get ready. You know, get ready to get this work done. Get ready to go. Because this is the time is at hand. So in Romans chapter 10, reading verse 15, "And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the message of peace." Well, we know feet don't preach. So this is talking about something else, and Pastor put it in the side note. "Feet of those who preach the message of peace, who bring glad tidings of righteous things." So if you look at the side note I next to feet, you see feet, journey, to lead about, teach, to go, view. Gesenius Hebrew and Kali Lexicon by Edward Robinson shows this word means to be in the footsteps of one appointed to follow in his footsteps. So this is talking about following in the footsteps, also talking about to teach, it also is talking about to lead. But notice verse 15, back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, "and having shod your feet with the preparation of the message of peace." And this word preparation, it's word number 2091 in Strong's Greek Dictionary, from word number 2090. It's the act of preparing, readiness. The act of preparing, readiness, to make ready. And you're making ready with the message of peace. Now remember Isaiah chapter 2 verse 2, what we open with, because it shows that we'll be teaching the nations the way of peace. Think about what the house of Yahweh has been doing for the past few years now with the character education certification program, where everyone who participates in this program are getting prepared to bring forth this message of peace. Because that's what the nations are going to be coming to the house of Yahweh for. So yes, there's a preparation that has to go on in the house of Yahweh to bring forth this message of peace, which is taking place at this time. So you could see everything is going along in accordance to what Yahweh has planned. Now, there are many similarities between this gathering, this great gathering that is taking place right now, and of course the gathering that took place in Moshe's time. And if you remember in Jeremiah chapter 23, it shows that, turn to Genesis 15, by the way. But if you remember Jeremiah chapter 23, it shows that this gathering in these last days is going to overshadow the gathering that took place in Moshe's time. And if you just do a side-by-side comparison, you'll see that Moshe, he had to gather people from one nation. Today, we are gathering people from all nations. Moshe, he had to deal with one Pharaoh. Today we have to deal with many Pharaohs that are scattered throughout the earth. And they all have one thing in common, is that they resist the will of Yahweh. And time permitting, we'll cover some of that. Now, remember the title of the sermon, "And It Will Come to Pass." And we read that in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Now, the prophecy of Moshe's gathering was given way back in Genesis chapter 15, and this was first told to Abraham. So in Genesis chapter 15, and you read from verse 13, he said to Abraham, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land not their own, and they will be enslaved, and they will afflict them for 400 years. But the nation enslaving them will I judge, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions." So this is where the prophecy was first given. Turn to Genesis chapter 47. Genesis chapter 47, and here we see where Jacob and all of his sons are in Egypt. Because at that time when the prophecy was given to Abraham, they were not in Egypt at that time. And at the time that prophecy was given, I believe it was 1911 BY, before Yahshua. So in Genesis chapter 47, let's read verses 11 and 12. "So Yasser settled his father and brothers in Egypt, gave them a possession of property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Yasser also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to the number of their families." So you could see that here they are in Egypt. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. And let's read from verses 6. And this is where you see Moshe. This is after he left the land of Egypt, was at the house of Yahweh, being trained for 40 years, being prepared to do the work that he would be sent to do. So in Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, "Then he said, I am the heavenly Father," that is speaking to Moshe, "I am the heavenly Father of your father, the father of Abraham, the father of Isaac, the father of Jacob." At this Moshe hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon Yahweh. And Yahweh said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their sufferings." I remember this, as pastors explained, that this wasn't the type of, you know, whip-type slavery that was being spoken of, but it was a bondage that they were held in, much like today, what you see going on in society today. Verse 8, "So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, bring them up from the land to a rich and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." Look at verse 9. "And now behold, the cry of the children of Israel has reached me, and I have also seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Come now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moshe said to Pharaoh, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And Yahweh said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship on this mountain." And then it goes, let's go to verse 15. Yahweh also said to Moshe, this also shall you say to the children of Israel, Yahweh, the heavenly Father of your fathers, the mighty one of Abraham, the mighty one of Isaac, the mighty one of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. So this is my name forever. Look at Exodus chapter 5, and let's read from verses 1 to 3. Afterward, Moshe and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what Yahweh, Almighty Father of Israel, says, let my people go, so they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Then Pharaoh said, who is Yahweh that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know Yahweh, and I will not let Israel go. Now, back in 2013, and this is in the 13th book of Israel, part 2. Back in 2013, on 11/16/13, and this is chapter 18 of that particular book of Israel, this is when Pastor first gave the sermon, Let My People Go. I don't have time to read some of the excerpts from it. I'm just trying to get to the chapter here so I can make sure and have the correct date. But this was 11/16/13, and it says, Pope Francis, let Yahweh's people go so they may keep a feast unto him. And if you remember in that sermon, Pastor said he was searching to see if this was the correct date, the correct time to give that sermon. And, he said he stayed up until 3, then he called one of the deacons, and then he got the answer, yes. And he said in verse 37, and I'll just read this, he said, this article, this sermon, series of sermon, however long it takes, is the demand for the Pope and the Vatican and the Great Eight to let my people go. Now, this is what we read of in Exodus chapter 5. This was the same thing that Moshe and Aaron went to Pharaoh, stating, let my people go. Now, when you get into the history of it, and we don't have time to really get into it, what you will see is that when they made that initial demand, things didn't get better for the children of Israel. As a matter of fact, things got worse for the children of Israel when they made that demand, because Pharaoh said, look, you know, they keep talking about wanting to keep this feast. You know what? They're just lazy. They don't have enough work to do. Let's take away their straw. Let them go search to make their own bricks and so forth. And if you think, take it into comparison to these last days, from the time Pastor said, let my people go, you have seen more restrictions on travel. You have seen more restrictions on the movement of people. You have seen border fences that has been built where none has existed for several years. You have heard wars being proposed, travel bans, all type of stuff that you have heard in the news. But that goes into the direct, it's contradicting the message that is coming forth from the house of Yahweh this time, which is to let my people go. Let them go to the house of Yahweh so they could keep my feast. But there was a reason that Yahweh was doing this. And let me see if I could find that very quickly. I'm failing on the second question here. Is he going to finish on time? But there was a reason that Yahweh was doing this. There was a reason why he allowed it to be the way it went. Now, if you look at Exodus chapter 9, and reading from verse 13, and this is in the midst of the plagues that was being brought upon the Egyptians because they refused to let Yahweh's people go. But Yahweh hardened the heart, that's verse 13, of Pharaoh, and he would not listen to them, just as Yahweh has said to Moshe. Then Yahweh said to Moshe, rise early in the morning and confront Pharaoh, saying to him, thus says Yahweh, the mighty one of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may worship me. Or this time I will send the full force of my plagues against you and against your officials and your people, in order that you may know there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have stretched out my hand, struck you and your people with a plague that would have wiped you from the earth, but I have raised you up and spared you for this very purpose, that I might show you my power, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So this is what Yahweh is doing. So as difficult as it becomes, remember that Yahweh is in full control and there's a purpose behind it. By the end of this, everyone is going to be talking about how Yahweh brought his people to the protected place. It's going to be self-evident. Everyone on the face of the earth is going to know the work that Yahweh is doing. For my closing scripture, let's go to Exodus chapter 12. And a lot of this we will be going through over the Passover Seder when we do it. But notice this, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel and their fathers, which they sojourned in the land of Canaan and the land of Egypt, was 430 years. And at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass. Remember that. On that very same day, it came to pass that all Yahweh's divisions went out from the land of Egypt. So, brothers and sisters, take comfort in the prophecies of Yahweh, for it will surely come to pass. May Yahweh bless your understanding. At this time, I'll ask for everyone to please stand. We'll now turn it over for closing prayer.